pleasure to be here this morning. What was the pleasure really was with those films? I'm sitting here and I'm just about broke down in tears. That was great. It was wonderful. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. Well, I'm Randy Mark. I live at Lamar, born in Sugar Valley, raised in Sugar Valley. Married a wife. My wife was from Lowington, in the Bonnie Islands. She usually comes with me, but she's playing for three churches. She records Friday night for the one church, and then she plays for the other two churches on Sunday morning. And she had a call to play for the fourth one this morning. She said, I just can't do it. It's too much. I don't have enough time to do that. But she is really with me. We've been married for 64 years. I have six grandchildren, two daughters, six grandchildren. I have four granddaughters and two grandsons. The oldest granddaughter of mine graduated from veterinary school here back in May. And my grandson graduated from Grove City College. I have another granddaughter graduated from La Cape University. I have one grandson is going to college of Reesport, Penn College. And I have two granddaughters that are both in eighth grade. So we have quite a family here at this class. But it's a pleasure for me to be here. Now, as I was sitting back, you probably saw this tape on the back of my ear. Now, that wasn't from last Sunday service. Nobody threw a box. And I talked to the deacons this morning, and they checked everybody. And I thought they did. I can get down behind her. No, I'm only kidding. But it's been a pleasure for me to be here. Would you join me in prayer, please? Jesus Christ, Son of God, forgive the times that we have forgotten you, the times that we have turned away from you, the times we have laughed at you, the times we have ignored you and the needs of our brothers and sisters. Bring us closer once more that we might dwell in your redeeming love. Father, I pray that anything that I would say or do this morning would only bring honor and glory to you. In your holy name I pray. Amen. What if you could make a change to the ending? The scripture this morning is from Luke 23, chapter 23, verses 33 through 43, which I will be reading later on as we go along. Have you ever gotten upset with the ending of a book or a movie? If the ending is too unexpected, or too weak, or if they kill off your favorite character, it can ruin the whole story for you. In other cases, the ending might be offensive to some people, but that's the risk you take when you go to the movies. Here's something you may not know. Movie censors in China are allowed to change the ending of the movie to protect the Chinese citizens from scenes that might disturb social order or impact criminal methods. In the movie Fight Club, which stars Brad Pitt and Edward Norton, it's got a violent ending. Edward Norton's character kills Brad Pitt's character, and then a bomb explodes, causing a bunch of buildings to burst into flames. The burning buildings are visual imagines images of Norse desire to destroy modern civilization. Well, this ending did not make it past the movie censors in China. Before they would show the movie in the theater, they changed the ending. The last 5 minutes of the movie are cut out. The movie ends with a screen image of a large sign that says the police caught all the bad guys. They prevented the bomb from exploding. Edward Norton's character spent time in a sanitarium where he received psychological treatment, and he was discharged from the sanitarium in 2012. So if you're a big fan of Fight World, now you know the Chinese version has an unexpected happy ending. But what if the power to change the ending to a true story to make it happy or as chaotic or as unexpected as we wanted. There is a bunch of books in the publishing world that do exactly that. It's called Alternative History or Counterfacing History. The authority of alternative history books takes one major event or influential person in history and takes that image and changes it. The book takes one image, even for a influential person, and changes all of that. The book Virtual History contains essays from 8 historians answering questions like, what if Germany had won World War II? What if JF Kennedy had never been assassinated? And they use a lot of research and their vast knowledge of history to construct a totally different ending to a true story. That's kind of mind-boggling, isn't it? What if one major event in our world history had never happened? What if Vladimir Putin had never been born or had decided not to attack Ukraine? Or more important, what if Jesus Christ had been unwilling to go to the cross in our behalf? Think about that question as I read our Bible passage for today from Luke chapter 23. The story of Jesus' death. This passage begins, when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him, along with criminals, one on his right, one on the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. And they said, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him that read, this is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly for what we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, today I tell you, today that you will be with me in paradise. Now 3 times the accusation was made against Jesus. If he is God's Messiah, if you are the King of the Jews, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. This is kind of a déjà vu moment for Jesus. He heard these words before in Luke chapter 4. Satan presented Jesus with 3 temptations in the desert and taunted him with these words, if you are the Son of God. 3 times he was given the opportunity to change the ending to the story. 3 times Jesus refused. And in Matthew 26, Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane just before his arrest. 3 times he prayed and wrestled with his calling. 3 more times he was given the opportunity to change the end to the story. And 3 times Jesus refused. And here, as he hung on the cross in agony and pain, Jesus refused. With crowds shouting at him, and rulers sneering at him, and soldiers gambling over his clothes, Jesus was given 3 opportunities to change the end of the story. If you're the Messiah, save yourself. And he refused. Why? The people in the crowd that day were questioning the power of the Messiah because they didn't understand the purpose of the Messiah. Our actions define us. Not what we say, not what we intend to do, not what we feel. It's what we do that reveals our true character and value and priorities. And we are also defined by what we choose not to do. Yesterday, my wife and I were coming home from State College. We had the radio on. And I've heard this song before, but it just kind of coincidental with pop up yesterday. Talk, talk, and walk, talk. If you ever heard that song. What it's referring to is, if we talk the talk, brothers and sisters, we got to walk the walk. In 1966, a young British woman named Jackie Collier became a missionary in the walled city of Kailua, a place in Hong Kong that was nourished or notarized, excuse me, for the high rates of poverty, drug addiction, and crimes. This city was particularly run by criminal groups. Now, Jackie, without any supplies or support of a missionary agency, began walking the streets of Kailua and sharing the message of Jesus with the addicts and prostitutes that she met. Over the next 4 years, she brought thousands of people to Christ and established drug rehabilitation centers in Hong Kong that gave help to thousands of people to escape their addiction. Jackie claims that in the early days of her ministry in Kailua, her limited language skills may have worked in her favor. Instead of being able to preach the gospel effectively, Jackie had to show the people who Jesus was by her actions. As she said, I found out that the people there were not listening anyway. They were watching to see how I acted, whether I really did love them, and if I did really love them, maybe God did love them too. It's what we do and what we choose not to do that reveals our true character and our values and our priorities. This is never more true than in times of crisis. What we choose to do or not do in that moment, crisis moment, reveals who we really are. Our choice to act or not to act can literally change the ending to our story. On Christ the King Sunday, I'd like us to examine what Jesus chose to do and not to do in his life, and the salvation of the world hung in the balance. On the cross, Jesus chose to offer forgiveness and mercy for those who didn't deserve it. Jesus had already undergone beatings and humiliation by the soldiers before they nailed him to the cross and hung him there to die. Our passage goes on to reveal that the crowds were watching him. The rulers were sneering at him. The soldiers were mocking him. And the thieves hurled insults at him. We can't even imagine the horror, the humiliation, the agony, the abandonment Jesus suffered in these moments. God in the flesh looked on the world of his enemies, and he chose to forgive them. He set aside wrath in favor of restoration. Calvin McKintry grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, in the 50s and the 60s, during the painful struggle for civil rights. She remembered that her home city was nicknamed Bombington for the frequent bombs that targeted black homes and businesses. Carolyn's parents tried to shield her from the hatred and violence that were so prevalent at that time. Her family attended the 16th Street Baptist Church, where they were surrounded by a loving community of fellow believers. Carolyn was baptized there at the age of 13. Her best friends were there with her. September the 15th, 1963, was Youth Sunday at her church. As Carolyn walked into the sanctuary that morning, a bomb went off. The next thing she remembered was the sound of police sirens and the screaming of people running into the streets to escape the explosion. Four members of the Klan had planted a bomb in the church that morning. Later, Carolyn would learn that her four friends, Addie Mae Collins, 14, Carolyn McNair, age 11, Carly Robinson, age 14, and Cynthia Wesley, age 14, died in that explosion. Carolyn's family rarely talked about the bombing. Grief counseling wasn't widely available at that time, so Carolyn learned to suppress her fear and confusion and grief into adulthood. But she struggled with depression and blunted her feelings with alcohol until finally her husband encouraged her to get some help. She visited a psychologist who suggested that she needed to deal with something that from her past in order to free herself from the grip of depression. When she got home from the psychologist's office, she went to her closet, pulled out a box of childhood mementos. On top was the Bible her parents gave her for baptism. Carolyn began to shake as she reached into the box. She says she prayed, God, I am in so much pain. Please fix my body. Take away my cravings for alcohol. Please touch me with your healing so that I can go forward. And as she picked up her childhood Bible, a bulletin fell out. On the front was the date September 15th, 1963. And inside was printed the sermon title and the scripture verse, A Love That Forgives, Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Carolyn began a journey of forgiveness and healing that day. She prayed that God would let her see the bomber as God saw them. She prayed that God would forgive them as God had forgiven her. Carolyn went on to attend divinity school so she could preach and teach about God's love and forgiveness and reconciliation with others. And in 1978, Carolyn and her family moved back to Birmingham and rejoined the 16th Street Baptist Church, a church that symbolized to Carolyn God's infinite grace and love for all his children, and how we are given that love in order to forgive what seems unforgivable and release our burdens to him. Our actions, brothers and sisters, define us. What we choose to do or not to do reveal our truth. In Jesus' worst and most agonizing moment, he chose to forgive his enemies and grant salvation to the dying thieves. And on the cross, Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, chose not to save himself, but save humankind. In Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? All power in heaven and on earth was available to him. He could have changed the ending to the story, but he chose to suffer and die in our place to heal our broken relationships with God. The King of Kings took our place so that we could have eternal life with God. Ben Manning was an author and Franciscan priest who served in the Korean War. He tells the story of how he and his best friend Ray enlisted together and served in the same Marine platoon. One night a grenade landed in the foxhole where Brennan and Ray were sheltered. Ray threw his body over the grenade and died to save his friend. Years later, Brennan visited Ray's mother in Brooklyn. And in the course of their conversation, Brennan asked her, "Do you think Ray loved me?" Ray's mother stood up, shook her finger in Brennan's face, and shouted, "What more could he have done for you?" Brennan said at that moment, he pictured himself standing before the cross, wondering, "Does God really love me?" And Jesus' mother pointed to her son, saying, "What more could he have done for you?" That's what I want to ask you this morning. What more could Jesus have done for you? He had the choice to destroy his enemies. He had the choice to save himself. He had the choice to change the ending to his story, and he gave it all up to save mankind from the penalty of sin and death. Our actions, brothers and sisters, define us. And in this worst moment, Jesus chose to suffer and die because of his love for us. When you look at the cross, can you really ask the question, "God really loved me?" And if God really loves you that much, what is keeping you from giving your life to God today? If you understand the love of Christ, of Jesus Christ, then I hope you will pray and ask Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. And in that prayer, you will change the ending your story too. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Brothers and sisters, siblings in Christ, rejoice, for Christ's love and forgiveness is for you. Brothers and sisters, I pray that when you leave this church this morning, that you will have the love of Christ in you, that you will be full of the love of Christ. Let that love shine through you. Let it shine so someone who is hurting, someone who is lost, can see that love in you. And possibly, through that love, you can lead him to Christ. So be filled with the joy and love of Christ. Let it shine through you as you leave this morning. Amen.
Thank you, sir. What more do you need? petition, number 327. If anybody